All these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. I feel like we're missing a lot of people. Well, you're here. That's what's important, right? Okay. Whoa. Am I loud? There's a way of life. Wow. Can you turn me down just a little bit? Thank you. All right. That's that better? Better. Okay. There's a way of life, a philosophy embodied in two words. Okay. These two words are carpe diem, or seize the day, right? This is about living life to the fullest and enjoying every second of it. I was first introduced to this concept in the movie Dead Poets Society. Who's seen this movie before? Dead Poets Society, okay. In this movie, it's about a bunch of students that live recklessly. They live a life of poetry and passion in spite of the consequences, right? Carpe diem, and they go and just seize the day, right? In today's terms, I think this philosophy has come around again, and it's probably better known to some of the younger folks as YOLO, right? You only live once. And this whole idea is, you only live once, so why not live for today? Why not just make the most out of today? YOLO. Don't hold back. Do what you want. Go with your gut. Just enjoy life. Enjoy life. And if you think about this, carpe diem and also YOLO, you know, clearly, this kind of thinking, it can't be Christian, can it? We believe in an afterlife and a resurrection, so it's not just about this life. We believe in rewards for the righteous and judgment for the wicked, so there are consequences. We believe in redeeming the time and living for Christ, not just ourselves, not just living for today. So carpe diem and YOLO, it sounds so Christian, doesn't it? But does this prevent us from enjoying life? We spend a large portion of our lives enjoying ourselves, I think. At least I know I do. I enjoy good food. I enjoy consuming media, Spotify, Netflix, right? I enjoy music. I enjoy movies. I enjoy spending time with my kids. And believe it or not, I still find some time to play video games every now and then. So is this considered wasting my life? Don't we have better things to do? If we are to live Christianly, must we sell everything we own and give to the poor and follow Jesus? Does this mean we should just subsist on bread and water and live out our days in third world countries, spreading the gospel? Or must we read our Bible 24/7 and pray 24/7, pray ceaselessly, as Paul says? Is that Christian life? Or is there a time and a season to enjoy the luxuries of life? Last week we talked about death, remember? The final deadline. And today our passage talks about life and the enjoyment of it, as un-Christian as that may sound. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 9? Ecclesiastes 9. Wait, I should turn there too. All right, verse 7. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life, and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of life. Lord, I pray that you can encourage us, Lord, this morning to enjoy life, not feel guilty all the time about enjoying life. Lord, you've given us this life to enjoy. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak to us and remind us, Lord, of your goodness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Actually, is this working?
Oh, it's working. Okay.
No. Can we advance? So Solomon begins our passage today with this imperative to enjoy your resources. Enjoy your resources. Okay, let's read. Verse 7, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head. For us Christians who have grown up hearing sermons about, you know, don't focus on material things, don't worry about what to eat and to drink, this, what Solomon says, it comes as kind of a shock. Can we really enjoy material things? And Solomon says, yes, go eat your bread with joy. Bread, it's not just about bread. It's talking about bread is a symbol for our daily sustenance. Enjoy your meal. Enjoy your meal. I have a bad habit of scarfing down my food as quickly as I can. I don't know. I grew up that way. I just eat as fast as I can. And my wife, she has to constantly remind me, right, slow down and enjoy your food. It's not just sustenance made to get into our bellies as fast as possible. She tells me, slow down, right, chew, and I'll savor it. I mean, who here doesn't enjoy good food? Right? I know I do. I probably enjoy good food a little too much. I cannot resist a good burger. You know what I'm talking about, a good burger. A real burger, not fast food. I'm talking about a real burger. A juicy steak. A big steamy bowl of ramen. Now, I'm not talking about top ramen. I'm talking about the real Japanese stuff that you buy in a ramen shop. So these are foods that I enjoy, that I like. And God says, go for it. Go enjoy it. In Genesis 9:3, after the flood, if you remember this story, God, he tells Noah, right, everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. Just as I have given you the green plants, I now give you everything to eat. God says, go for it. Anything you want, steak, you know, pork chop, go for it. Wait, not pork chop. That's not kosher. But everything, right? That's, just go for it. God says, go for it. Eat it, you know? And who can forget in Acts 10 when Peter, he's on a rooftop and he's hungry. He sees a vision and a voice, right? And then the voice tells him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Right? All these different animals, kill and eat these things. And then Peter says, surely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. And the voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Go for it. Eat. Enjoy. God has given us everything, every kind of food to enjoy. Steak, salad, stinky tofu, escargot even, if that's your thing. French bread, Hawaiian bread, sourdough bread, pita bread, all kinds of bread. He says, go and eat your bread with joy. Just go for it, right? Enjoy. Solomon also says, drink your wine with a merry heart. So wine here symbolizes gladness, revelry. Bottoms up, enjoy, right? yambe, or yambue, that's the Cantonese way, or gambe, right? Enjoy. In many Christian circles, drinking alcohol is seen as a sin. Those who drink are worldly and unspiritual. Those who abstain are self-controlled and godly. And yet, must I remind you that Jesus didn't turn water into Diet Coke. The disciples didn't celebrate the Lord's Supper with Welch's grape juice, right? Having a drink in moderation is okay. And I will be the first to admit to you, I have a couple of drinks of alcoholic beverages every year. I have a couple of drinks a year. Easter brunch, Father's Day barbecue, and Christmas dinner. Three times that I drink, three drinks. Scandalous, I know. Your pastor drinks, right? But the biblical prohibition isn't against alcohol. It's against drunkenness. It's okay to drink. Ecclesiastes 9 says, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. It's okay. It's biblical. He tells us to do it, right? Lastly, Solomon says, let your garments always be white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. These are symbols of festivity and partying. Ladies, I don't have to tell you, if you're going to go out, you're going to put on nice clothes, you're going to pick the right shoes, and you're going to accessorize, right? Let your garments always be white. Guys, it's okay to put in a little effort. Maybe use a little styling product in your hair sometimes. I mean, Solomon just says, let not oil be lacking on your head, right? Put in a little effort. I don't know, clean yourself up. Make up. Dress up. Go out. Have a ball. Enjoy yourself every once in a while. God has given us these resources, food, drink, clothes, and company to enjoy. There is a time for fasting, yes, but there's also a time for feasting. Oftentimes, we equate those who enjoy material things with being unspiritual, as if the material and the spiritual were polar opposites. This simply isn't true. Right? The Holy Spirit hovered over the water, and he made all this stuff. God is a God of creation. He proclaimed it very good. Material things in and of themselves are not bad or evil. It's how we use them, how we become mastered by them that we need to be aware of. Food is wonderful as long as we don't overindulge. Right? The old adage goes, eat to live, don't live to eat. Drink and festivity is fine in moderation as long as we remember that these are gifts from God. God is the source of all these things. So these things, they're just resources. Solomon then moves on to the topic of our relationships. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. The wife whom you love. Whoa, what happened? The wife whom you love. Although we know that Solomon had hundreds of wives because of his status as a king. Back then, marriages were a political thing. They were a political thing. I think even Solomon realized God's intention for monogamy. When God instituted marriage in Genesis, and then Jesus also reiterates it, he says, the two shall become one flesh. You're only meant to have one spouse. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. God joined you together, so enjoy life together. Marriage is a beautiful thing, I always marvel at couples who are celebrating their 40th and 50th anniversaries. Have you seen this before? You know, old folks, they've been married for 40, 50 years, and that's an amazing thing. Really, it is. And you see them, and they're so sweet together. And you see them walking, and sometimes you see them holding hands. That's the most beautiful thing in the world. And you can just sense their love and respect for one another. They have gone through life together. They're facing death together. That's the way it should be. You don't call it quits when the going gets tough. You enjoy one another. You enjoy your marriage. That is your portion in life, Solomon says. But look what else Solomon says about marriage. Take a look. He says, it is also part of your toil, right? It is part of your toil. It is part of your work. So what does this mean? Marriage takes hard work. It's not like once you're married, it's just smooth sailing and happily ever after. Marriage is probably one of the most sanctifying tools that God has given us, those of us who are married. To keep a marriage going, you need lots of patience and forgiveness and self-sacrifice and God's grace. Marriage also requires intentionality. What does this mean? Intentionality. Right? Husbands, don't stop pursuing your wife. Once you put on the ring, your job isn't done. It's really only just begun. Right? You have to tell her how beautiful she looks every once in a while. Tell her how appreciative you are of all the hard work that she does around the house. Don't stop pursuing your wife. And wives, don't forget that this man that you've married, he's not just the father of your children and the provider of the household. He's also your lover. Right? Together, work on your marriage. Right? Toil after your marriage. Right? Go on dates. Find ways to connect. Even have sex. You know, enjoy one another. Don't forget that the guy who writes Ecclesiastes is also the writer of the Song of Songs, one of the most romantic and sensual books ever written. Enjoy one another and work at your relationship. There are plenty of other relationships in our lives to enjoy besides marriage. Right? Enjoy your family. Don't just put up with your family and try to avoid them around the house so you can do your own thing. Enjoy your family. Right? Kids, get to know your parents. They're not that bad, right? They care about you. They've been kids before, too, believe it or not. Learn from them and enjoy your time with them. Now, pretty soon, you'll be off to college. You'll be begging to see more of them. You're going to miss them so much. Believe me, it's true. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Enjoy your family. We also get to enjoy our friendships, right? The bonds of Christian brotherhood and sisterhood. It's a very beautiful thing. Right? We get to edify one another and build each other up. We get to encourage one another in our relationship with God. No matter where you are in life, right? Don't isolate yourself, but build relationships. Enjoy your relationships. And then cultivate your relationships. Relationships take time and effort and toil. You got to work for it. Enjoy your relationships. They are a God-given gift. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. So lastly, I think Solomon is telling us to enjoy our responsibilities. He says this phrase, whatever your hand finds to do. And This morning I'm going to highlight two of our responsibilities, our work, our jobs, and our ministries. So the first one, enjoy your work. Enjoy your work. To some of you, this may sound like an oxymoron. Work is work. It's tiring and hard. It doesn't seem like a blessing, right? It feels like a curse. Genesis 3:17 says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." That's work, right? That's work. Work is what you have to do to survive, to pay the bills, to keep food on the table and a roof over our heads. Work is just work. And yet, God created us to be workers. The first thing he did after he created Adam was to put him in the garden, and I quote, "to work it and take care of it." You know, in the beginning, work wasn't a chore or a hassle. It was a joy. It was a joy for Adam to go and work the ground and see this fruit bearing. It was a joy to go to work. We were, and we are created to work. And yet, oftentimes, if we're honest, we'd rather rest. We'd rather rest. I mean, we loathe waking up early in the mornings to get ready for work. And then we trudge through our days, right, counting down the minutes until we get to go home and veg out. We live for the weekends. I used to do this. I used to be this. I'd suffer through the week just to live for the weekends. I'd suffer through the year just to go on vacation and feel alive again. I used to live for the weekends. And I realized later that this wasn't healthy. This wasn't the way God intended me to live. We were made to find meaning and purpose and even joy in our work. To do something that we're gifted at and passionate at. We were meant to enjoy our work. Netflix and video games, that doesn't count. That's rest. We're supposed to rest to work, not work to rest. Let me put that up there. We're meant to rest to work, not work to rest. It took me a long time to figure this out. I think I'm still kind of figuring this out. This setting my priorities right, this realizing the difference between work and rest, and putting that in the right perspective. Solomon says, "Whatever work your hand finds to do, do it with your might." Don't be lazy. Don't pretend to be productive. And don't waste your employer's time and money browsing Facebook all day. In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul warns believers against idleness. He says, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We're supposed to work. We're meant to work. God created us for work, not rest. Secondly, God also created us for good works. And for this, I'm talking about ministry, right? Service of the Lord. And likewise, whatever ministry your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Right? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? Do it. If you're in ministry, do it with all your might. If God has called you to do something, do it well. If he's called you to be a Sunday school teacher, be the very best Sunday school teacher that you can be. Right? Prepare and pray. Now, you'd be surprised what kind of impact that you're making on impressionable young children. What they can learn about God and about the faith, even at a very young age. Just the other day, my daughter, Zoe, she blew me away when she recalled something that she had learned about the story of the resurrection. And this is something that she learned at Easter. She learned this at Easter, and she's 4 years old. And she said something about, I think she was talking about the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, right? And that they didn't recognize Jesus. And I was so blown away, I was stunned that she remembered that, right? And what that meant. If you're called to serve in hospitality, you know, cooking or cleaning, put your heart into it. A few months ago, the youth group and I, we went and we served at a women's shelter, and we cooked them hamburgers and hot dogs. And you know, these women, they were so appreciative. And one of the ladies said, "Wow, this is the best meal that I've had in months. Right? I've gone hungry for a week before, and this is so special. This means a lot to me." Right? Serve with all your heart. People can tell the difference. Enjoy your ministry and do it well. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So how do I sum up a message entitled "Enjoy Life" without sounding like prosperity gospel? Right? Taken the wrong way, it may seem like I'm just preaching carpe diem and YOLO. How do we reconcile this? Well, that's really not what Solomon is trying to say when he gives us these words. Enjoy your resources. You know, food, drink, clothing, company, enjoy them. Enjoy your relationships, your marriage, your friends and family. Enjoy your responsibilities, your work, and your ministries. How do we put this into the right perspective? I think we would do well to realize, first and foremost, that these things are all gifts from God. These are gifts to be stewarded and toiled after, to be used and enjoyed in moderation and contentment. And then we enjoy these things, but we don't just stop there. We give thanks. Right? We give thanks to God. At every meal, we give thanks. At every gathering, we give thanks. With every paycheck that we receive, we give thanks. Right? We give thanks. That's what sets us apart from carpe diem and YOLO. We know who gave us these things, and we give praise and thanks to him. We're also reminded that all these things, all this stuff under the sun, these things will not last. That they aren't designed to give purpose and meaning to our lives. Only God can do that. Only God can be that for us. So we would do well to stop placing ultimate value in stuff. Like I said before, we eat to live, not live to eat. We rest to work, not work to rest. Point number two, we need to keep our priorities about these gifts, we need to keep our priorities straight. Right? These things, our resources, our relationships, our responsibilities, these are not the goal, the purpose of life. They're just, it's just stuff that God gives us. We need to keep our priorities straight. I know I'm still learning this as well. But otherwise, I think we have incredible freedom to enjoy life here on earth. We Christians shouldn't be the most miserable people in the world, hanging our heads low, right, subsisting on bread and water. Christians, we should be joyful people, knowing we have this heavenly Father who provides for us faithfully and abundantly. Man does not live on bread alone. This is true because God sometimes gives us cake to eat and enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your good gifts that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. The bread and the wine that we get to enjoy. Lord, remind us of the body and blood that you've given us, this grace, this free gift that you've given us. We thank you for the relationships that you've placed in our lives because they remind us of our relationship with you. The marriage, the bride and the lamb. And we thank you, Lord, for the responsibilities, the work that you've given each and every one of us, the calling that you've placed on us, because they remind us of the calling and purpose to spread the gospel to the nations and to spread your fame and your glory. Lord, we thank you for all these good gifts, but we don't stop there, Lord. These things simply point us to you. So Lord, help us to keep the right perspective on these gifts, but also Lord, help us to enjoy them, Lord, without guilt, without shame. Lord, you've given these things to us, and we thank you. We give thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The song, because it actually has next to nothing to do with the message. The song that we're about to sing is called Better Is One Day. It's based on Psalm 84, and it's about the goodness of being in God's presence. However, for this morning, I'd like to ask us to sing it with the fact that God is a giver of good gifts, so it is good to be in his presence.
Please stand.
One day in your house, better is one day in your thoughts,
God, we thank you that you are a God who gives gifts and who gives good gifts, God. God, you say in your Bible that if we ourselves know to give good gifts to our sons, how much more will you give to us? And so God, we thank you for that. God, may we remember that these good gifts, they may not always be what we expect. They may not always be what we think they are. But God, may we accept them and may we give thanks for them, God. God, in the way that we live, and may we not live stepping on our tiptoes and walking around not being sure, God, but may we live confidently because we know that we have a God that we can be confident in. So we thank you for that. We thank you for who you are and what you have given us and what you will continue to give us and how you will continue to provide for us. And so we pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you, worship team. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you in a beautiful you're saying from we have a fellowship in the fellowship hall after worship service, so we encourage you to go there. We have Youth Sunday School that starts at 11:30. Do we have adult Sunday school today? We do, and so we have adult Sunday school in the room behind the sanctuary at 11:15. We do have summer conference coming in a couple of weeks, and so if you haven't registered yet, there is still time. There is no penalty for registering today, so we encourage you to do that. There should be a table out in the entrance. If you can't find them, just come talk to myself or David and we can take your money and confirm verbally that you have been registered. So with that, we'll ask Pastor Jim to share the benediction.
Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you for the many gifts that you've blessed us with, Lord. Thank you for being the giver of such good gifts. Lord, you're so good to us. And I pray that we would remember who they're from and give you thanks and praise. I also pray that you would help us to steward and take good care of these gifts, our resources, our relationships, even our responsibilities, Lord. We thank you for these things, for giving us just these things to enjoy in life. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. We thank you for being a God who does not change and who is a good Father. And may the God of grace, who blesses us abundantly, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever.